The goal for this year sounds always a little bit strange, but we're trying to figure out a way, a kunz, to circumvent the issue of Hazara. We don't usually like to talk about Hazara, but that's the mice of what we're going to try to do. So we left off last week talking about there's an issue with the Rabbanan of putting food back on the fire on Shabbos, and that's the issue called Hazara, that everybody subscribes to that issue. Whether or not everyone agrees to Shahia in certain degrees, that was really the whole sugya in the third part of Shabbos, so the mice of Hazara everybody agrees to. And we said that when all the dust settles, a whole series of conditions have to be met in order to permit the food to be put back. Some of them are more bishul concerns, some of them more issedurim derabbanan concerns. The two basic reasons for the issedurabbanan, one is shemichat b'gichol, we're afraid you may come to stir the coals, address the flames, or maybe Mexican lavash, and they give off that impression of cooking. But the bottom line is that unless you have all the conditions that are met, you're going to have a problem. So some of the conditions that have to be met are fairly simple ones. For example, grufa ktuma, putting on a blach, again, we assume that putting a blach is considered to be the equivalent of covering the fire, so that's a very easy one. That's a cinch also. Make sure the food's fully cooked before Shabbos. That's not so hard. Daitel hachzer, that's pretty easy also. You take your food off Friday night and have hini mucham zubach and put it on tomorrow morning. So that's also easy. It's two out of the five conditions that become very, very difficult. One of them is odu biyado, to literally hold on to the pot. First, wants to take off the food Friday night and stick it into the fridge and put it back on Shabbos morning. Unless he's, spend the whole Shabbos with his hands in the refrigerator, that's not going to work too well. So that's going to be a difficult condition to meet. And the fifth condition is going to be very, very difficult to meet. That's the condition of Lonitstan and Legamer. That was what the Beis Yosef and the Ramon insisted, that the food can't cool off. So it's those two conditions that are going to cause us the most problems in terms of Hazara. So is there any way out, any way to circumvent, any way whatsoever to figure out a kunz, how to do Hazara properly? So there is a Ran in the third paragraph of Masechet Shabbos, where the Ran quotes Yerushalmi, or at least claims Yerushalmi says this, not everyone agrees, but the Ran quotes Yerushalmi, that says as follows, that those two conditions, of Odu Biyado and Daitel Hachzer, the Gemara in Shabbos insists upon, says the Ran, Mamed Dibar Mamurim, that Odu Biyado and Daitel Hachzer are necessary, that only makes sense when the food wasn't on the fire when Shabbos actually started. The food was taken off Friday afternoon, and now you want to almost put it back on, put it up from scratch on Shabbos, because it wasn't there when Shabbos began. So then, because that was very, very warm, that looks like what's called an Asir Mechodesh. That looks like you're putting food onto the fire, and that's the problem. Shemichat Bechorim bells go off in Mexican, Lasha bells go off, all the problems are there. But what if the person had the food on the fire when Shabbos started, and now he just took it off Friday night at 10 o'clock, and now he wants to put it back on, but everything was on at the time of Shabbos beginning. So then the Yerushalmi seems to say that the two conditions of Odu Biyado and Daitel Hachzer fall by the wayside. Then you don't have to worry about those conditions anymore. And again, the rationale we can understand that Odu Biyado and Daitel Hachzer, the goal of those conditions is to almost take it out of the realm of looking like cooking. So if the food was not on the fire when Shabbos started, you're putting it on for the first time on Shabbos, that's a very, very cooking kind of an action. If it was on when Shabbos began, now you're just taking off and putting that on again, that's much more of a reheating kind of an action. And therefore, the other beyond that will have to conditions would have been next. That's the Chiddush Gadol from the Ran. Now, truth to be told, most of the Rishonim probably don't accept the Ran. The Bavli does not seem to accept this, seems to argue with the Rishonim. And we're not even 100% sure that we even accept the Ran to begin with. There are more quotes that there's a Yeshom, it's a possibility, but again, it's far from agreed upon by everybody. But then the Ramah takes the Ran and puts the brakes in the Ran. He says, yeah, the Ran's great and wonderful, it's Gevalik Kula, but, says the Ramah, it only makes sense if the food is still hot. But if the food is cooled off, so then the game's over according to everybody, even according to the Ran and the Rishonim. So it sounds like it was a great Kula for about 3 minutes, but it's over, finished. It's not going to work practically. Because what we would have liked this kula to mean is that I could serve the same food Friday night and Shabbos morning. I'll leave the chickens and the kugels, everything on the blech from Friday, from before Shabbos. Leave everything on. Friday night, I'll take everything off the fire. I'll serve whatever I want to serve. I'll put it into the fridge. I'll put it back on tomorrow morning, right back on the blech. And I'm relying on the rounds of Yerushalmi. So Ramon says, no, you're not. He says, you're not relying on Yerushalmi, because even Yerushalmi, we can see that the food is cold, so then the whole thing is over. So here it gets a little bit tricky, and this is the throwback that we spoke about last week. Where did that condition of the food not getting cold come from? Who made it up? It's not the Gemara. It's not even Rishonim. The Beis Yosef and the Ramah have it. Where did it come from? The whole idea that the food can't get cold. So this was a major machlokes we mentioned last week from the Magen Avraham and the Gra. The Magen Avraham says if the food is cold, ein l'cha hachzara gadol mizu. That's the ultimate hachzara. It's a disaster. Shemichat b'gichom of the highest degree. It's a mechzikim of Ashel, the worst case scenario. All the concerns, all the fears of Achzorah are 100 times over if the food is cold, and therefore all coolers are going to fall off. And the Vilna-Gaon said it's not true. The Vilna-Gaon has one comment in Bir HaGrah in Shulchan Aruch of the Shabbos, where the Gra says the only reason why you have to be careful that the food is not yet cold is because you're going to run into a bishul problem. A bishul problem? Yeah, if it's a liquid. If it's a soup, then it's a bishul problem. And when it's kugel, and if it's a dry chicken, then it's in fact not a bishul problem. So it comes out, according to the Gra, that whole condition of lo nitzdanim, that the Beis Yosef and the Ramon insist upon as a chayk lo yavor, it's not so chayk lo yavor anymore. It means it's true if and when you're dealing with liquid. If you're dealing with solid, then the whole condition doesn't exist. If you combine together that Vilna Gaon with this ran, then you have a gevaldige kula. Very simple. You want to get it. You want to serve the same chicken and the same kugel. You want it to be in the fridge all night, and you want it to be warm Shabbos morning. Very, very easy. Make sure to leave it on the fire from before Shabbos, like most people probably do anyway. So it's sitting on the bluff from before Shabbos. Comes Friday night, you come from shul, your wife serves you the chicken, serves you the kugel, it's great. When you're done, put it right back into the fridge. Wait till tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. On the way home from shul, your wife will take out the chicken and the kugel, she'll put it back on the blech and head to Gomer. Why is it head to Gomer? You just combine the Ran together with the Gra. That according to the Ran, whenever it was on the fire from before Shabbos, so then Ol the Biyada Dat Lachzer doesn't apply Bechlal. And even the Ramo said that Lo Nistan Legamre is a condition. Yeah, that condition is true for liquids, but it's not true for solids. So if you're willing to combine the Ran and the Gra, so then you're good to go. The question is, should you combine that Ran and combine that Gra? So this was already a big one like this. So Rav Moshe was vehemently opposed to this whole story. Because Rav Moshe thought that the whole Gra was such a chiddush, he's not the equal like the Machna Ram. He thought that the real reason for Lo Nistan Legamre is a Hakzar problem, and therefore the flood is equally true to solids and liquids, and therefore the whole plan is never not getting it off the ground. And even those who are willing to a little bit more note like the Gra, the Shailabon Sophic, we know we rely on the Hale Gashita Sagra, the whole Ran is a Das Yochid, the whole Risham is a Das Yochid, the whole Risham is against the Baba, the whole thing we don't pass like Mitchil Ratzoif, we don't pass like the whole story. So you need Ol Debiyada Dait L'Hachsa, which the mice you don't have when you put the food into the fridge. So it's for a combination of these two reasons. The Ramosha wasn't even gurus this Heter, and others didn't even want to start the Heter for other reasons, that they were opposed to following this Das Yochid, the Ran and the Rishami. The combination of these two factors were many, many, many posts. Probably most of the posts did not go down this route, did not accept this. However, this was the famous kula that the Rav had. This was known as the Rav's famous kula in Boston for Havzara. Again, I'm not a Bostonian. I know Elliot is, but by the time you lived in Boston, it's already in the next generation.
There were many that were annoying this way.
They were annoying this way. So it's again, I wasn't back in the Boston back in the 1940s and the 50s. Was this Pesach of the Rav al-Khachil the Pesach? Was this Pesach because people were putting food in the fire anyway? I can't tell you. I don't know. There were different versions of whether the Rav really held this Mamash Meek and the Rav himself didn't in his own home. Did anybody know? I don't know. I can't tell you. So I don't know whether the Rav was saying this as a limud chus for people because they were doing other things that maybe were worse than this. So the Rav is at least telling them, if you make sure to keep it on the fire for before Shabbos, at least you have this round through Shami and the Gra to rely. But again, I don't know. Maybe the Rav is mocking this out, right? I probably don't know. You have to ask them the old Talmidim of the Rav, what his opinion was about this. But again, notwithstanding what the Rav said about it, most of the other posts did not accept this.
And this is all talking about putting it directly on the
On a block, on top of the fire. Fire on, block, top, right? That's right. Like most of us used to probably saw when we were growing up, that kind of mahalach of taking food out of the fridge. But you know, it was all based on this cool. The question is, could we come up with something different? Could we come up with something which maybe would be a little bit more acceptable to most of the poskim? Another way to possibly get around some of these issues. So a lot of it revolves around an issue that already appears in the Rishonim. The Rishonim discussed the following invention called the Kedera Agave Kedera. What would the din be if instead of putting food directly onto the fire on Shabbos, I put the food onto a pre-existing pot on Shabbos? I left the chilling pot sitting on the fire from 20 hours ago. And now I want to come Shabbos morning and I want to take a piece of kugel. I put the piece of kugel in the end. There's no bishul. It's dry kugel. It's dry chicken. I want to put the dry, the yovish, onto not the fire and not even the blech. I want to put it on top of a pre-existing pot, a kedera gabi kedera. So the Shulchan Aruch already quotes two opinions about this. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this was a machlokes of Rishonim. So Rishonim said, what does this work? What kind of, okay, who made this up? Kedera gabi kedera. Another Sham said, no, the kedera gabi kedera is okay. Why is kedera gabi kedera? What's the rationale to permit kedera gabi kedera? So it would appear that the reasons that are given for Hamzara may not apply, especially if you believe that the reason is mechtikim of Ashram. This is a very, very strange way of cooking. This is not the norm. Most people wouldn't cook this way. If you cook on a Tuesday, you wouldn't put a piece of kugel on top of a pre-existing shulam pot. So since this is so out of the ordinary, so this is no longer a problem of mechtikim of Ashram. And maybe one can argue it's so out of the ordinary, it could serve as like a, such a super-duper-duper protection against Shem Yechat and Yecholim. So maybe this is a way to circumvent the entire problem. How do we paskin? Do we accept this kula? So the paskin say yes. The later paskin write that although it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, the meaning is l'hokel. Then we assume that a kedera gabi kedera would be acceptable. Now the question becomes, what exactly does that mean? What exactly qualifies as a kedera gabi kedera? What is that lower kedera have or have not in it? So there is a Be'alocha, Shavura quotes from a Prima Godim, based on a whole kasha that he has. He developed the following inside. The Prima Godim says that Bamed on the Murim, that a Kedera Gabi Kedera makes any sense. That's only if there's food in the bottom Kedera. It's called Kedera Malaya. So if you have a pot of cholent, or you have an urn or of water, you have something, food or liquid in the bottom Kedera, and now you want to put a piece of kugel on top of your urn. You want to take a piece of kugel and put it on top of the pre-existing shulam pot. So the Mishnah calls the people, that would be okay. That, again, even that, not everyone, not all the Rishon agreed to, but that we have a right to be makel. That's the mitigation also to be makel. But the people said, the pot stops here. That's only true if there's food, if it's a kedera, if it's a kedera malaya. But if it's what we call a kedera rekonis, if it's an empty pot, then that's nothing. That's zero. That's not going to help Lamal's Lamayr. That's what the people got him said. So now you have an interesting twist to lay the poskim as to why that should or should not be so. So the Rav apparently said, again, I wasn't there to hear this, but this I'm hearing with Biashmua, the Rav apparently said that the Mishnah has to be right. It's impossible to say that Kedera Rekonis is going to do the trick. You just take an upside down pot, an empty pot, and just put it on top of the fire and put food on top of it. That's ridiculous, the Rav said. He said, an upside down pot, an empty pot, is a crooked blech. That was his mushroom. It's an equation. It's just a blech that somebody punched in and made it into a pot. So what's the difference? So he said, if you're going to be matter that, then you're going to be matter blech. And again, off the record, the Rav was matter blech, but only with his conditions, only if the food was there from before Shabbos, he was matir based on the Rad and the Rishalmi. But if you don't have that situation, you want to just matir and say, Hazara doesn't apply, finish, end of discussion, as long as you have a Kedera, got the Kedera. So the Rav said it doesn't make any sense that bottom Kedera should be an empty Kedera, because if so, so then you just want matir blach. So then it's just a crooked blach. So Rabbi Badi Yosef, coming from a very, very different part of the world, a different angle, said that the Rav's equation was 100% correct, that an empty pot, a kedera rekonis, is the exact same halacha equivalent as a crooked blech, and therefore, just as a kedera rekonis is mutter, so too a crooked blech is mutter also, and once a crooked blech is mutter, what's the difference whether it's a crooked blech or a straight blech? And therefore, Rav Avadya said, a blech is a kedera rekonis. So that's an unbelievable, that's quite a breakthrough. That means what Rav Avadya just said is that you can now take food off the fire on Friday night, put it into the fridge, it's ice cold, sitting there the entire night, and 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, you can take the dry kugel, the dry chicken, and put it right back on the crooked blech and on the straight blech. You can put it on directly onto the fire on Shabbos. It's at the gomer. Why is it at the gomer? What happened to the Yisra of Avzara? So Rav Avadya says, that's not Avzara b'chol. That is a kedera al gabi kedera. I'm not putting the food directly onto the fire. It's not like in the days of Chazal, I just threw some ashes onto the fire. That's ketumah. A blech is better than ketumah. A blech is a kedera. And as being a kedera, it's a kedera al gabi kedera. And a kedera al gabi kedera. Is that the gomer? The only thing is that Rav Avadya screams and says, make sure the food is not liquid. If the food is a liquid, then the Sfaradim are more machmen Hashem. We mentioned last time this year. The Sfaradim hold that yesh bishlach avishim and atorah by davalach. So that's going to be a disaster, according to Rav Avadya. You got to make sure that it's not a liquid. But if it's not a liquid, it's a dry kugel, a dry piece of chicken, things like that. So then according to Rav Avadya, it would be mutter l'chatchila to take it out of the fridge on Shabbos morning. Not because it was on the fire Friday. It doesn't even have to be on the fire on Friday. Who cares? The Rav Avadya wasn't curious. The Ramos cooler with the Rishamis and the Rans. That wasn't his agenda. He's saying it's mutter for a different reason. It's mutter because it's a kedera gabi kedera. And the Rav turned around and said, what do you mean it's mutter kedera? That's not a kedera. That's a joke. That's a farce. That's not a kedera gabi kedera. That's a crooked block. And that's meaningless. In order to invoke the head of kedera gabi kedera, you have to have a kedera malay. That's that food or liquid in it. That's just a little.
So according to the rubber.
Because the rubber's put there anyway, you can take it as long as the food
was... only if it was there Friday night.
Right. So the question is how... Now we have two different kulas. We have nothing to do with each other. We have Ravaja's approach, his approach to the sugya of saying that as long as it's on black, everything is... You can put it on black, everything's het to gomer on Shabbos, as long as you've avoided any bishul problems. And you have the Rav who said that, no, that's not going to do the trick, but if you left the food on the fire from before Shabbos, that's going to be okay. How should we be knowing Lamaisa and the Shiloh? So, Lefiani is Daiti, I think that most of us in this room probably shouldn't be knowing either one of those two clues for the following reason. Rabbi Yosef said, Gvaldik, unbelievable, Lerdik, Poisek, but in the end of the day, he wasn't really our Rebbe, he wasn't really our Poisek. And most of us followed the Mishabura. So the Mishabura was a little bit was more consistent with the Ashkenazi traditions, and the Ashkenazi Psochim, the Primogodim, and the Mishabura, and those Poskim. The Mishabura didn't buy into this. The Mishabura didn't accept the Shtikl Torah. The Mishabura didn't think this was right, that a Kedera Kana should do the tricks. I think that, again, those who aspire to follow, have the traditions that follow the Vajra, have a right to do so, but I think that Ashkenazi, by and large, shouldn't really follow this. There were some Ashkenazi Poskim who bought into this also. I think for by and large, we shouldn't really accept this. We shouldn't take this very, very, easy attitude that, those at the black, everything is hunky-dory, everything's great. But it does make a difference if you happen to be invited to a Sephardi's house or to an Ashkenazi who thinks he's a Sephardi or an Ashkenazi who doesn't know that he's a Sephardi, but he's been knowing he's a Sephardi. So if you go to somebody's house and you see Gevalt, they're putting food on the black on Shabbos, Gevalt, Chilul Shabbos, they're relying on Rabbi Vajra. Whether they know or not, if we have a cloud going with a Maisa Shabbos, that whenever somebody's doing something that has a viable sheet to rely on, even though I don't personally follow that view, the evidence will not eat the food. So the bottom line is, if you go to somebody's house and they're taking the food out of the fridge and they're putting it onto the Blech on Shabbos, Yesh lahem amir l'smoch, and whether they should or should not be smoch in that, but the Maisa Yesh lahem amir l'smoch, and therefore with the evidence you can eat the food as well.
So that's an empty pot. How about a pot of water?
So we don't want to follow that heter of Kedera Kanas, etc. On the other hand, also the Rav's kula of just because the food was in the fire on Friday afternoon, does that mean we're going to follow that kula also? Most of us don't follow all the hunkers of the Rav. That's the honest truth. There are some people in the world who do, who are mamish tamidim who follow the Rav, and they follow all the Rav's and huggers. So those people follow all the Rav's and huggers, so they can follow this and hugger also. But you have to be careful. It's always a tricky question. Always tricky situation. We have these kinds of things that a certain Pesach has a little bit of a das yochid, and I kind of consider myself to be a Talmud in that person, but not exactly. And, I kind of accept some things. It gets very, very tricky. Rabbi Shecht is fond of saying that sometimes you have in yeshiva, you have guys walking around saying, I follow the minhag HaGra. Talmud HaGra. I don't say Baruch Hashem L'Yoylam, and I say Shvachacha, and I say Merdatale. All the minhag HaGra. Shechter once, commented, he said, one of the minhag HaGra was, he used to learn 22 hours out of a 24-hour day. So that midnight, I don't follow that minute. That's not my minute. So you have to be careful, which minhag is you follow. Yeah, those who have the traditions and follow this minhag of the rabbi, far be it from me to contradict and say it's wrong. On the other hand, I'm not sure that has become normative in our community. The Moshe was opposed to it, others were opposed to it. Even some of the very close to me to the Rav were have recommended people not to rely on this. And you have to also be careful, because if you follow that meaning of that idea of the Rav, not only the facts aren't always true. I mean, the food is not always on the fire from before. In the old days, people had less food. So when I was growing up, we ate this, basically it was the same chicken Friday night in Shabbat. Same chicken, same cook. It was just pretty much the same food. Whereas now a lot of people put on different foods. They have guests, different guests at the shops with different foods. So people start getting into the habit of putting stuff onto the block. You have to be careful. But if you're following the Rav school, you have to make sure that was the food that was there Friday afternoon also. It's also not so simple. So Lafayette is the idea. I think one should try to avoid both of these schools. Again, those who are following the Rav Yeshiva in the smoke, those who are following the Rav Yeshiva in the smoke. Lafayette is the idea. I think we should probably go more with a little bit more the mainstream, the Shabura and Ramayshin and some of the later Tamil with the Rav who recommended that maybe we should go try to find a little bit of a different Mahalach. So what different Mahalachim are potentially available for us? So we could fall back on the old Kedera Gabba Kedera in the classic sense. It means put it on top of an urn, put it on top of a shul pot. That would be great. If you have two people in the house and you have one piece of chip and one piece of kugel, so then there's room to put it on top of your urn. But if you have 30 guests in the house, that's not going to be very practical. So what other answers are potentially available for us? So there was a invention that was made a couple of years ago. It's not even anyone uses it anymore. The Kedera Blach, with the water inside it. Somebody tried to patent this a couple of years ago, which was basically a they'll It's like, you know, the same way they'll make the chametz sets for you. You know, they cut the little pieces of bread and put that little pieces for you. For many, many years, I held back from buying oil for the menorah. It irked me that I couldn't expend the extra, you know, mesivas nefesh to pour the oil into the cup myself. But, you know, Hashem, my kids got old and they started to little light, so it started to get long months of preparing a 4 or 5 menorah, so I got lazy like everybody else. Even though now, most of the week it was just myself, I was only one menorah, but hope hutra, so I still love it. The way it is. So they'll make a kedera abakadera for you. They'll give you a sheet of metal, they'll pour some water into it, put another sheet of metal on top, and try to call it kedera abakadera. So, well, a lot of poskim weren't so thrilled with this kedera abakadera for a variety of reasons. Some felt it wasn't such a great heker because apparently people do use these kinds of things in normal settings also. And the caterers use these kinds of things. I don't even think they... Does anyone make it anymore? I don't even see it anymore. Like, it was very short-lived, this kedera abakadera. The other invention that has become absolutely much more popular, starting there to show, become very popular here, are the hot plates. So the hot plates are a whole different ballgame. The hot plates may circumvent the issues of Hatzara in a very, very simple way, that all the reasons of Hatzara in the first place may not apply when you're dealing with the plot, you're dealing with the Israeli-style hot plates. Because going back to the beginning of the sugya, there were two reasons why you couldn't put the food back on the fire in the first place, putting aside the judicial issue. Everything is bach tzorcho, everything is dry, etc. The two basic concerns were Shem Yichat B'Gichol and Metzikim B'Vashel. So Shem Yichat B'Gichol, you already learned in the sugya of Shehiya that if there's no knob, there's nothing to adjust. So what kind of Shem Yichat? What are you going to be B'Chata? So that's clearly not a problem. So if you have a non-adjustable hot, not all the hot plates in this room, if you have a non-adjustable hot, just plug in, plug out, so then obviously Shem Yichat B'Chom is not a concern. The question is Mechzikim of Ashel a concern or not? So this gets very, very tricky. Whether you could say there's a concern of Mechzikim of Ashel on the hot plates. So this was already raised already years ago, already Rav Shimon Eider sent the shah to Rav Moshe in the back of Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer. So he has a whole bunch of give and takes that he had with Rav Moshe, and later was printed into later Igros Moshe. So in that original version of the story, so Rav Shimon Eider posed a question about the hot plates to Rav Moshe, and he asked Rav Moshe, if you have a hot plate that it's not dark of a kach to cook on, most people wouldn't think of cooking on it, so should we be concerned with Mechzikim of Ashel? So that was the way the question was posed. Something that's not dark of a kach to cook, is that a problem? So Rav Moshe responded, it's okay, because it's EF Shem of Ashel Alof. There was a loss of communication there. The shared question was, ain't dark of a kach, and the answer was, EF Shem. But what if it's EF Shem, but it's just not dark of a kach? So if you just have the Tosh of the Sav in print, so then it's hard to tell what Rav Moshe really meant. Maybe Rav Moshe talked about with Asadah plates that they are able to cook on. So we have heard from trustworthy sources, they go back to Rav Shimon Eider, Rav Shimon Eider's no longer alive, Rav Shimon Eider apparently re-asked the question of the Alpet to Rav Moshe, and he said to Rav Moshe, what if it's Efshur, but it's just not Darko? So Moshe said, yeah, it's also okay. So yeah, but that's really Tosh Rav. That's not a print. So Tosh Rav, that was already said, Rav Moshe was masking to that as well. So there are many who wanted to be making on the Alpet based on that it's not normal to cook on it. If it's not normal to cook on, you would never think. You walk to a guy's kitchen, see him putting stuff on a hot plate. I'm a shugur who cooks on a hot plate. So therefore, it should be permissible. Legamri. You can put food directly onto the hot plate, but at least from Sofek, as long as it's fully cooked and it's not a liquid, because all the reasons don't apply. Shemichat doesn't apply, but Bash doesn't apply as well. So not everyone was convinced of that, including first and foremost the Shmir Shabbos Kechosa. So Rav Noivit did not approve of the hot plates. Rav Noivit thought that they were a problem, that they were an issue of Mechzikim of Ashel. Why are we an issue of Mechzikim of Ashel? So my brother-in-law, Roni, told me that he once cornered Rav Noivit at a medical and halacha conference and he asked him this question. Most people ask him about brain death and other things, but he wanted to know about why he asked the hot plates. So he told my brother-in-law, which again subsequently has been in print also, he says that's not true, that there are some Sfaradim in Eretz Yisrael who do cook vegetables on the hot plates all week long. So we thought that it was Darka B'Kach, and that's why he asked it. If that's the reason, maybe that's good for us. I said, does anyone ever seen their wife cook vegetables on a hot plate in Bergen Field on Tuesday? So it's not our practice to do that. So maybe Tapiruch Ram, maybe a new Psach in Eretz Yisrael with the maker of the hot plates, they're also, with the Mexican Bash in America, where no one does it. So then, look, that's a joke Psach. But the bottom line is that there are many poskim who were mocked the hot plates outright because of this, and there are others who were nervous about the hot plates and asked the hot plates because they felt it did not yet overcome the concern of amassing the Bash. One could do it, one wants to be a little bit creative. One could combine some of the coolers that we had before, namely, maybe instead of putting food directly onto the hot plate, you should put food on top of a cookie sheet, which is on the hot plate. What do you gain by that? is that that at least you got Ravaja in your back pocket. It means at least you have a little bit of a Kedera, Gamma Kedera also, which the truth is that the Shmesh Abbas is also Naitel Hakal on Kedera Rekonis. He's like Bashas al Chak, he's a little bit naked, like those poskim will say the Kedera Rekonis is good enough also. So you almost have everybody covered. So you have those, you never have everybody covered, you have more people covered. So Lefiani is like that, it's not a Petor Spasak. Those who want to have the practice of putting a cookie sheet on top of the hot plate and then putting the dry food on, so it's a little bit of a mila, a little bit of an added bonus. Those who don't do that, so then they're relying straight out on this poskim, big poskim, big rabbanim, who are making it out right, and we're not concerned at all with the hot plate. So again, yesh v'yesh, there are different ways. So at the end of the day is, we try hard, very, very hard to try to get some hot food on Shabbos, we try very hard to do that. And we try very hard to try to see how we can finagle a little bit around these sort of folks.
So
an
adjustable hot plate?
Adjustable hot plate is a big problem. So adjustable hot plate is a more serious problem. After Shem Yichat, the question is what to solve that. Well, maybe next week we'll talk about that. And then and the warming drawers and the Shabbos ovens and all the other stuff that comes as an aside for us.